Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is best-selling author David Baldacci, who is out with his fourth book. It's the end of the Vega Jane series. This one's called The Stars Below, The Final Showdown. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. It's a young adult book. And David, I had a friend of mine describe this to me when I told him that I was going to be talking to you about your new Vega Jane book. He says, you know, when he does the Vega Jane books, it feels like he's spending time with his other family and not paying, you know, kind of like a dad that has to spend time with it when he's got two families. Is there a lot of crossover of your readers? Because I've read everything you've written, but for this particular reader that told me that, he seemed like he likes all the thrillers and stuff, but can't get into the YA.
No, that happens, you know, as well. Not everybody's going to, you know, be excited about a YA title, but for me, you know, I think that a lot of my adult readers did cross over and read it because, you know, these books are thrilling in a certain way, even though they deal with magic and fantastical sort of beasts and all that, but I sort of gauge it when I go to book signings and I see little kids and teenagers and, you know, young adults and parents and grandparents in line with the books. And I think people just like great stories, and for the most part, and hopefully the Vega Jane books are, you know, are really good stories that people want to enjoy reading. So while some of my, you know, adult readers may not have read them or gotten into them, a lot of them have, and but that's life. You know, you're never going to please everybody. But it is kind of funny, you know, I'm sort of dealing with another family at the time, but you can tell your friend that I'll be back to my other family very soon.
I did assure him that. I said, it's like clockwork. We'll have another Amos Decker coming soon, so all those types of characters. Now, the Vega Jane series, you talk, it's lots of magical and fantastical things that go on there. Is that kind of relieving that you're not limited to the limits of the capabilities of a weapon that maybe an Amos Decker uses, or other things where you're limited in a world of law enforcement?
Absolutely. I don't have to sort of ground everything in reality. I can let my imagination run wild. These are the kind of stories, you know, I would think of when I was a little kid and anything was possible. So it was very liberating in one way to write, you know, a book that I could just go out and you know, crash past all the barriers of reality-based thrillers and just do what I wanted to do and create things that didn't exist and not have to worry about explaining it to people, you know, on Facebook. Yes, you know, I can do this. It's fiction. I can make these things up, and they actually, it's okay. So it was very liberating in that sense. And I think, you know, writing these stories helped sharpen, you know, my writing abilities for the adult thrillers as well, sharpen how I sort of deal with characters, sort of get outside my you know, bounds of comfort zones of how I deal with the relationships between people. Certainly, I think it made me write the younger people in my thrillers better, just because I spent a lot of time with Vega Jane and people of her age in this series, too. So it was all a win-win for me, and I loved writing these fantasy novels, and I loved, you know, working with Scholastic. They're a great publisher, and it was just a terrific moment, you know, in my life. And who knows, I may, you know, do it again because I enjoyed it so much.
Well, I know you do a ton of research for your other books, and you've honed contacts all over the governments and private industry. Do you have the same type of research that goes into these books?
You really do, because a lot of the magic and a lot of the beasts and a lot of the places that I write about in the four books have basis in mythology, Greek, Roman, Native American, Middle Eastern. So I did a lot of research on those. I tried to base a lot of the names that I used, a lot of the beasts that I used and things like that, and a lot of the creatures that I came up with, magical creatures, you know, base it in things that have been written about before in mythology, which I loved reading growing up. You know, what's cooler than reading about gods and goddesses who can do all these fantastic things? So there was a great amount of research going into it, but then I took those tools and then let my imagination just build a brand new world out of it, and let Vega Jane and her friends sort of inhabit that world and, you know, and rise to the challenge and overcome these obstacles, which is kind of a nice life lesson for people. You know, I like to think that Vega Jane, even though kids these days are not going to encounter the sort of obstacles that she did in these books, they will encounter obstacles, they will fail, they will make the wrong decisions, and they will have consequences for that. But as Vega Jane shows, even when you do that, you can get back up, think about it again, make a better decision, and move on.
And then the flip side with the readership and the crossover, do you have a lot of your young readers who are now reading your adult books?
You know, I think that I do. In fact, I know that I do. But that's always surprised me. Even before I write the fantasy books, I would go to these, you know, my thriller events, and there'd be 10, 11, 12-year-olds who came up. You know, one little kid came up to me and said, yeah, Mr. Baldacci, I've been reading you ever since fourth grade. It's like, really? Well, that's interesting, because I don't think my parents would have allowed me to read any of my books when I was in fourth grade. But, you know, kids these days, they have a wide range of interest. And a lot of the students that went to high school with my kids when they were younger started reading my books in ninth and tenth grade. And I think that's great. I mean, I encourage kids to read all sorts of different books. I mean, I understand age appropriateness and all that stuff, and you need to be careful about that. And as a parent, it's, you know, it's up to you to guide your child. But I love kids who are curious about things. And I've always said that, you know, readers, if more people read in this world, we'd have a much better world, because books and readers are just, they're more open-minded, curious, tolerant, open to people and, you know, cultures that may not mirror their own, or more understanding. And those are all good things, and all comes from being a reader and being able to explore a world through a book without ever leaving your chair.
What's been your impression of the kids who read these series and give you feedback? And do some of their observations even surprise you, maybe point out something you didn't even see?
You know, I found that they're very detail-oriented, and consistency matters, particularly for young people. And so you have to, when you set out rules of a world, then you really have to adhere to those rules, or the kids will sort of call you out on that. Or sometimes if you, you know, insert a wrong creature or give it a power that you didn't give it before in book one or book two, and then you come out in book three or book four and you do, and they'll send you a little email. They'll post something on, you know, Facebook and or Twitter and say, yeah, really love the book, but you got to watch that, you know. And so their grasp of detail for me was astonishing. And a little intimidating at times as well, but I think that's a great thing. That will serve them well in life.
Does the book tour and publicity things change from the YA book to the adult books?
You know, it does in certain respects. I'll tell you, the biggest difference for me was, as an adult thriller writer, I would never go to these conferences, you know, writers' conferences, booksellers' conferences, where a lot of the fans come out, but that's a huge world in the YA and middle grade, where you'll go and you'll be with 30 or 40 other writers who write for children and younger adults, and they'll have all these young attendees, and some of them will be dressed up in costumes and all that from the books, from everything from Harry Potter to Rick Riordan and all those, and it's just this enormous energy. You don't really do a lot of that in the adult world, at least, you know, I haven't, but that's a big part of writing for younger kids, and I really enjoyed that because it was something new for me, so I got to meet a lot of the writers who write in that genre and in that age bracket and sort of see the enthusiasm. And it was heartening for me because sometimes I get a little down on the fact that maybe people aren't reading as much, maybe kids are not reading as much as they should be. You know, they're playing PlayStation, they're gamers online, and they're not picking up the books. But so that was very heartening for me to see, you know, thousands of kids stream into these places just excited as all about opening, you know, an old-fashioned book.
And then this book went four books, this story went four books, the arc of the story. Was that the plan at the beginning?
There was no plan at the beginning, I'll be honest about that. I had no idea how many books it was going to be. It could have been anywhere from, you know, upwards to seven, but the arc sort of started to formulate itself and hardened to become more realistic probably around after I finished book two. I kind of understood where book three was going to go, and then book four would be the finale. So it really got me. I was about halfway through the series before I really realized what the whole arc was going to be. There's nothing unusual about that. I've done the same thing with that with adult series books, where you get into it and you realize, okay, I've done the basis, I've laid the foundation, I know where I want the characters to go. And unless something really extraordinary happens and you want to keep the character going, you have a pretty good sense of how you want to end it. That's what happened with Vega Jane. I was about halfway through before I sort of really hardened the timeline.
All right, this is the fourth in the Vega Jane series. The book is The Stars Below, The Final Showdown. It's the last book in the series by David Baldacci. Check it out, and we'll be awaiting his other titles again this year. He writes on a hellacious pace, so we'll have plenty to talk about. David, fantastic offering here. Thanks for introducing young readers to your reading through this venue, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Bless the beasts and the children.